Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. On this Best of the Best broadcast, we are concluding a two-part conversation Dr. Dobson had with retired chaplain E. Ray Moore, who is the founder and president of the Exodus Mandate Project. Today, he'll explain what his organization does for Christian families who are deciding on their child's education and also discuss the role that he had in creating the movie Escaping Common Core. Here now is the remainder of this popular interview on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Colonel Moore, you are heading up a ministry having to do with encouraging parents to get their kids out of the public schools. Now, that's bold. And there are an awful lot of people, you know, there are a lot of good teachers in public schools. And So I'm sure some of them get angry about this. But describe the mission of this ministry.
Well, the Exodus Mandate Project is a Christian ministry to encourage and assist Christian families to leave behind the state-sponsored public school system for the promised land of Christian day schools or homeschooling. Additionally, we pray and teach that a fresh obedience by Christian families in educating their children according to biblical commands would prove to be a key for the revival of our families, our churches, and our culture. So that's the two-point mission statement, and we've been living by that for over 20 years now.
You know, I've heard this for many years, that many Christian parents and pastors and teachers will say, if you take your children out of public schools, when you have taught them to love Christ, you're depriving their influence with other students and with those in the school. What do you say to that?
I'm glad you asked that. That's called the salt and light argument, and it's the number one objection that I get from people who don't support what I'm doing. And, of course, Jesus did say in Matthew 13 and 14 that we should be salt and light, and that's a general, broad statement of behavior for Christians in all circumstances. We're to be the light of the world. Wherever we are, we try to be a godly influence, live in a way that would attract people to Christ. But it doesn't apply to little children in the K through 12 level in public schools. We're putting them in harm's way in pagan and godless public schools. And I think, frankly, even though it's a valid text, it's probably the most misused and abused text in the Bible. And so I've actually written a little pamphlet called The Salt and Light to try to refute that argument for children. It's so harmful and egregious now, and it's really, I hate to say it, it's probably an excuse more often than not. I know a lot of people sincerely believe that, but I find that often they use it as an excuse for not doing, you know, what the Scripture teaches about education. There's no wiggle room in the Bible about how we should educate our children, and we managed to find it with that verse.
The Scripture tells us to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You put a new spin on that or a new understanding on it on our program last time.
Right. It's the word admonition, bring up the fear and the admonition of the Lord, is the word culture, paideia. And it's a general word for culture. It doesn't look just at a narrow aspect of teaching them Bible verses or taking them to Sunday school, but it means looking at the whole Christian culture, a way of life. And that's the way we're supposed to raise our children. They're supposed to be in church, be in the family. We're not to be isolated from the world, but we're not to bring them into harm's way. And so when a child gets to be 18 or 19 or 20, they can go into the Army, they can go to college, they can work, and they should be able to handle life at that point. But a little 6 or 7 or 8-year-old is not ready for a hostile environment.
You know, I've been responsible for perhaps 8,000 radio programs through the years, and I've covered a lot of different topics. And cultural and physical, medical, psychological. I've covered a lot of stuff. The number one issue for me is getting your kids in the hands of Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I say to you, nothing. I mean, that's job one. And you dare not put those children into a setting where the influences will contradict what you believe.
That's been the main motivation for the Exodus Mandate, too. We are primarily concerned with Christ-centered, Bible-based education, worldview instruction, and Christian curriculum as a way of bringing that about. But honestly, with the political culture being so desperate now, I'm having to fall back on a baser argument saying, look, if we don't change the way we do education, we're going to lose the next election. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, and I am concerned about it, but we are losing the generations that are going to replace us. I'm 73. Those ones coming behind us do not agree with their own parents. And so we've got to – the millennials are in a terrible condition as far as their worldview and their instruction, and primarily it's been because all of them have been public school.
I wonder if you've heard Abraham Lincoln's statement that the philosophy in the classroom for one generation is the philosophy of the government for another.
Yes, I know it well. That's a very good statement. I've used it myself. And of course, you remember 1983, President Reagan commissioned a group to study the education system, and they made a statement, if a foreign nation would do what we have done to our education system, we would have considered it an act of war. And that's been going on. It hasn't changed. It hasn't improved since then.
It's gotten worse.
The only way we can fix it is that the church has got to pick up and seize the initiative and take up the responsibility. This is what Christians should be doing for culture. This is where we can serve Christ the best right now, is provide Christian schools for our own children, homeschool our own children, and we will see perhaps in the mercy of God non-Christian people coming into our churches, and they'll find Christ in our Christian schools. So there's a great opportunity for us, but we are lagging behind. We're not doing what we should be doing.
For those who are irritated by what we have said yesterday and today, and are in some cases angry at us, maybe public school teachers whose jobs depend on the children being sent to public education, and they would really like to get a hold of us or get their arms around our necks. Mm-hmm. I know how they feel. I've heard from them. And I used to be a public school teacher. Mm-hmm. I taught for 3 years when I was very young. I was 24, 25, 26, and then I went on to the university. But I've got a real heart for public school teachers. I've been there. I've seen it, and I know the good that you can do. But I'm talking about the children. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about those that are hearing things and learning things that contradict basic spiritual truths, and they're not going to learn it in a public school setting. So cut us some slack here. We're
right.
Not attacking anybody.
Yeah. That's true. And we say to them, if you can serve the Lord there and without compromise, fine, but don't hold our children hostage to your pension. I've had teachers say to me, don't take the kids out. We need the Christian kids to help us keep order. Well, what's happening to our children, they're being taken away from the church and the Lord. We're losing our own children because of the extreme indoctrination that's going on. We have a LGBT teaching is now in the schools, evolution. You can't teach intelligent design of creation. They're doing a revisionist form of American history. So they're not even learning basic rudimentary education anymore in a lot of our public schools.
Ray, I just heard you speak at the Council for National Policy. I've been a member there for 30-something years, and you did a great job. And it was on that basis that I came and asked you mm-hmm. if you would be with us here on our broadcast. And I appreciate your being willing to come. You mentioned that day that you've got a film
right.
that you feel very strongly about. I have not yet seen it, but tell me about it.
We created a movie, it's been about nearly 2 years now, called Escaping Common Core, Setting Our Children Free. And of course, Common Core was a hot button item in the recent presidential election, particularly in the primaries. And it's a very unpopular agenda. It's a radical progressive agenda in the public schools. And sadly, it is creeping a little bit into some of our Christian schools because it's so pervasive. And they set up a standards for mathematics and English originally. And standards are good, but we don't know that the state should be imposing them. And they're progressive and not traditional. So we created a movie.
If I can interrupt you, not only the state imposing them, mm-hmm. but the government at the highest level. That really, the farther you get from parental influence, and concern the farther you'll get from things that Christians believe.
So I felt that it was such a bad agenda and was so upset so many people, even a lot of liberals don't like it, that we create a movie to try to capture the moment to cause people to leave the public school system. So that's what the movie is about. And if people are interested, you know, they can find out more about it by going to the webpage, escapecommoncore.com, escapecommoncore.com. So we're having some success with that, and it is causing people to leave. I sort of laughingly say, I have to be careful when I make this statement, Common Core is a good thing. Not that it really is, but it's causing people to be upset enough that they're pulling out of the public school system and going into homeschooling or Christian schooling. So we're seeing a lot of growth, particularly in the homeschool movement, because of Common Core.
Is Common Core still a threat? Is it still out there, or does the last election change it?
Well, that's to be determined. President Trump really campaigned against it, said he was going to eliminate it. And the two top finishers in the Republican primary were Senator Cruz and President Trump, and both of them campaigned strongly against Common Core. And Governor Bush and Governor Kasich campaigned for it, and they lost out. So it's not popular with Republicans and most conservatives for sure. So we're hoping that he will deal with it. We don't know quite what the new Secretary of Education plans to do, but we're watching with bated breath. But what has happened, a lot of states have repealed it, but they rename it. South Carolina repealed Common Core and brought the essence of it back in, changed 10% and gave it a new name, but they kept 90% of the agenda. So you have to watch out for trick plays and bait and switch whenever the government is involved.
So it's still very much a threat.
Yes, it is a threat. And it is a threat to some of the private Christian schools, because some of the Christian school curriculum feel like they've got to adopt some of it to be able to get acceptance. So we have to watch it in the Christian curriculum side as well.
How long would you homeschool your kids? I talked about that in Dr. Ray Moore's perspective on it in the program last time. What's your view?
We started, you know, we were early pioneers, and it was daunting for us to go beyond middle school, because you get into advanced math, calculus, labs, and it's very hard to do some of those things in the home. I'm actually open to the idea, if I was a starting family today with homeschooling, I might consider taking them all the way. We're seeing families that are homeschooling even through the 12th grade, and these are some of the most outstanding young adults you've ever seen. Well-educated, making good marriages, picking up great professions. And so I'm rethinking that, but I don't have the choice because I'm done. My kids are getting pretty old now, but it's one of the most exciting things that's happening in America today, this homeschooling and Christian school movement.
You know, in my own ministry, both Focus on the Family and since then, many times homeschool support groups will make a field trip to our work, and we give them a tour throughout the building and so on. And then public schools will do that also.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, those two groups of kids are different. They are very different. Those that have been homeschooled are more respectful. They listen. They seem more interested. They're more involved in what's going on. And many public school kids are not. They're distracted. Some of them, you know, are hard to handle. You can see homeschool kids. I sometimes, in fact, you can see it happening. You know, you have a different environment, a different influence when you can do that job at home.
Yes, and as parents, we want to be able to say, like the Apostle John, and he said, speaking of his spiritual disciples, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. So I'm 73, and my wife and I have a few more years, but we are getting into our latter years, and we have such joy in our children and our grandchildren, inexpressible at times. And I see a lot of older Christians that didn't give their kids a Christian school education or homeschool, and their kids rebellious and in trouble and can't work and do things, and they go to their graves sorrowing over wayward children, and they could have done better if they had just attempted it.
What do you say to the parents who cannot afford to live on one salary?
Very good question. I'm really glad we got to that. There's really no excuse now to public school. There are ways to do it. First of all, you could homeschool, but you know that usually presupposes a mother at home. Campus Christian schools are very good. They sometimes price families out, but there is a whole new development, online Christian education. Liberty University has Liberty Online. Bob Jones has an online program. Abeka has nearly 100,000 homeschool kids being educated home online. Alpha Omega, Art Robison. I mean, Dr. Dobson, there's so many good curricula out there now. You got Apologia, which has got a science curriculum that tops anything that the government liberal educators could do. They've got PhDs and top eminent scientists that are writing for them. So this world of online Christian education is exploding, and it can be done. Sometimes you may have to use your grandparents or something, but kids can be educated at home. You don't have to put them in public school. You know, there is a God, and we can pray and ask Him to help us find a way.
And many people can live on one salary who don't think they can.
Right.
I know that's not true of everybody. And certainly you've got single mothers mm-hmm. who have got to earn a living for the family. So it doesn't work in all cases. In fact, will you admit to me that some people are not cut out to homeschool their children?
Yes, I think that's possible. But we can't put them in public school any longer. In other words, they're going to spoil their inheritance, their legacy if they do. So we need to – this is where churches have to step up. We have all these churches that are empty 5 days a week. When I drive down the road, I don't see churches, Dr. Dobson. I see empty Christian schoolhouses. And so we've got to have a cast a new vision and see a new opportunity. This is a great opportunity. We've got a four-year window of opportunity, and we better buy the moment while we can.
Well, with all due tact, mm-hmm. speak to the pastor who hasn't thought things through mm-hmm. like we're talking about today. And he doesn't want to anger his constituents, and he doesn't want to mm-hmm. drive them away, and he doesn't want to insult them. Mm-hmm. And not everybody is mm-hmm. Cut out for Christian school. Some mothers are hyperactive themselves, mm-hmm. and they can't control their children. There are all kinds of problems mm-hmm. for some. I think we need to leave a little room for those that just cannot do that.
Well, for pastors, you know, they have a different responsibility. As a parent, you're going to have to give an account for your children. But pastors have to give an account for a flock. And so they're going to have to, you know, answer. And so they have a charge to shepherd the flock. And part of that would be providing Christian education for their members, not Sunday school. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday school. Now, it's not going to be easy, but they've got to do it. And I think that a lot of pastors, if they don't step up, they could lose reward. I mean, God's going to save us all if we're born again and stand in His presence. We could see loss of reward and blessing.
Well, the biggest loss is your own children.
Right. And so we've got to realize that we have a responsibility. And a lot of what we do in pastoral work is we warn. We have to warn the flock. We have to teach, admonish. And this is an error that needs to be dealt with. And now they don't have to rush off and, you know, fuss at everybody, but they can start working in their congregations. They can show books, give books on Christian education to their elders and deacons and work them in gradually. But I think right now Christians are ready for this. They just don't have the leadership. We say in our movement, if the people will lead, the leaders will follow. So we need the people to lead and talk more about it and then encourage your pastor to do this and stand behind him. And I'm seeing that is happening, but we've got to have pastoral leadership or this won't come to pass.
Describe in better detail what the Exodus mandate is. What do people find by tuning in or writing your organization?
We the main way we've gotten our message out is through tapes, books, and literature, of which I've given you a number. I've done a lot of radio interviews because what we were doing was sort of controversial. It's not as controversial now as it was. People want to talk to me. So I've reached millions of people over the Christian radio network, yeah. And that's been the main way we've gotten our message out. We do conventions. As I'm a member of some of the same conservative organizations you're in.
That's what brings you here today. Yeah.
And we're trying to reach leaders, national Christian leaders and pastors, say now's the time to step up. Sometimes a favorable political environment can enhance and encourage a spiritual result. And, I'm thinking we just had that in November 8th. So we've got a window to step in and reset the agenda for the church, for the family, and for the culture. And if the church will step up and lead, take the lead, and educate their own children, we will save our children and maybe save our churches, our families, and our country at the same time. I believe that could happen, but we need leadership.
What do people say to you when you're speaking to, we'll say, a large number of people, perhaps 500 to 1,000 mm-hmm. people, who are not familiar with this issue, and you begin speaking like we've done today and yesterday? I mean, do they come after you? What do they say?
Not anymore. I think people are ready. I mentioned I go to the NRB every year, and we're getting so much favorable response. I mean, I don't know serious Christian leaders that are public schooling their kids now. They see it, and they're trying to protect their own children. And we're saying, look, what's good for your kids is good for all the other kids. It's good for the culture. You are advocating and saving your children through homeschooling or private Christian schools. Help us advocate that for everybody else and offer this service to America. And I think they're ready. I need help getting the message out.
You know, Betsy DeVos is now Secretary of Education, and I've known her for 30 years. She and her family are just wonderful people. Ray, where do you think public schools are going under her influence and, with the government's hold, hammerlock mm-hmm. on public schools?
Well, she got in under a lot of pressure. First of all, she's taken over a department. It's just filled with people who don't share her worldview. So that's the first thing she's got to deal with. But I think as I mentioned in an article recently in the Washington Post, this election has shifted the debate to right of center. Used to be we were always having to justify yeah. public education. Now we're saying, look, now's the time for an alternative approach. So I think we're going to have a new day, and I'm hoping that she will encourage that.
Ray Moore, not Dr. Raymond Moore, who was a great friend to both of us and has gone on to be with the Lord. He and Dorothy were great friends. I've skied with him. I mm-hmm. mean, they were very close to them. And he was so passionate about children. He was just such a good man. And he had a great influence on me. And as it turns out, on you. But now you're carrying on this message, and you're doing mm-hmm. it with passion, and you're doing it very well, and you've done it well today and yesterday. I appreciate your being here. Give your wife my regard.
Okay.
She was the one that homeschooled.
That's right. She did 80% or 90% of it.
Yeah. Well, will you stay in touch with us?
Yes. I'll be seeing you at these meetings that we go to together. And again, I want to say thank you for the program in 1981, where you helped birth the modern homeschool movement, a pivotal moment. I know maybe we didn't realize it at the time, but it started growing exponentially after that.
And I was learning all along myself of something that I'd never heard before. Mm-hmm. And it certainly wasn't part of my child development training. So.
Can I put the webpage out one more time?
Yes, please.
The webpage for the new movie, Escaping Common Core, is escapecommoncore.com. And there's a nice trailer and information about getting the movie. And there's more information there than you probably need. But take a look at escapecommoncore.com.
Thank you, Colonel. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
We hope you have appreciated this popular interview over the past 2 days featuring Dr. James Dobson and retired chaplain E. Ray Moore here on Family Talk. In case you missed part one of this Best of the Best broadcast, go to our website at drjamesdobson.org. There you can listen to the first part of this interview or any other of the popular programs you'd like to listen to or re-listen to once again. Again, you'll find all that information at drjamesdobson.org and then click onto our broadcast tab. If you enjoyed today's program, we would love to hear from you, and you can do so using our listener feedback line. The toll-free number to call is 844-823-2669. Now, once you call, you'll have up to 2 minutes to leave your message, and all testimonies and comments are greatly appreciated and encouraged. That number, once again, for Family Talk's listener feedback line is toll-free, 844-823-2669. Thanks so much for listening to today's program. Be sure to join us again tomorrow as we will continue our Best of the Best broadcast series by bringing you an interview Dr. Dobson recorded earlier this year with best-selling author Shanti Feldhahn. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, wishing you a great rest of your day.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.